Okay, Vinny, you're there, right?
Yes.
Okay,
you sound better.
All right. This is Pamela Cuccinelle. It is January 2012, and I am talking about the astrological forecast going forward into February. And what is upon us right now, I'll touch on briefly, and then the main emphasis will be for January. And I'll also address if there are any specific questions about timing or what is ahead of us, to see what I can answer. So, that being said, here we are. We've gotten through the holidays and entered into the January New Year. The 2012 is now a reality. And it's been an interesting opening, what's going on, just looking at the transits and movements, but also just the, I'm always looking in the news and seeing what's out in the world to kind of give a understanding of what this all actually means or where it's all going, to see the symbolic resonance with how this is opening up. And I was talking at the beginning of the call with Vinny, who's on the line, and we were talking about Vincent van Gogh. And I was just, as we were talking, because of the new book that's come out, that maybe he was killed instead of committing suicide, which I think is a really compelling theory. But I also am immediately curious, because every time somebody who's dead gets kind of resurrected in the popular culture, it's usually because there's some sort of transit that's activating their horoscope again. Of course, as Vinny and I were saying, Vincent van Gogh really never has left the popular culture. He has remained a highly popular artist pretty much since his death. And as I look at his, I actually just pulled up his horoscope as we were talking, and he was born at 9 degrees Aries, so that's in what we call the first decadent, the first 10 degrees of the sign, in this case Aries. Aries is a cardinal sign. As I said, the cardinal signs initiate the seasons. And all the cardinal signs, especially the early degrees, are getting affected by the big transits in the sky with Uranus being in Aries, the planet that has to do with change and revolution, freedom. And that is coming to his sun sign. It's not there yet. I think that it's more being activated by the Pluto, which is at about, I believe it's 6 degrees now, so it's at a square aspect with his sun. So it's bringing into a new way of seeing what's going on. And I wouldn't be surprised at all if more research springs out, not only from this guy's book, but that maybe some backup information or something comes in, which would be actually very... which would be a tremendous way to begin the 2012. We're moving more into a time that's got to do with celebration of the individual, but within the collective consciousness. Because if Vincent was always seen as this kind of tortured artist who went through the stereotype of having an awful end and being impoverished, this reflection or reevaluating whether anything is solid comes out of it or not, it's a way of changing the stereotype, which I think is a really, it's actually a really powerful way to begin this year, which is so much about, as we're in Pluto and Capricorn, so much about breaking down old frames, institutions, ways of seeing things. And of course, one of the old frames and institutions that's breaking down is the way the art world or art as business has functioned. So anyway, thank you, Vinny. That was an interesting thing to open up with and have me kind of run around with a little. I found that very fascinating. So we've just come off the full moon in Cancer, which occurred on the 9th. And so we're in a cycle that has to do with integration of the energy. Again, Cancer, the full moon is, the moon's in Cancer, and the sun is, of course, in the sign of Capricorn. So this is a cycle, a couple of weeks, where we're coming to terms with how we integrate our family or our home life with whatever our business goals or our reaching out into the outer world is. So it's a period of time that asks us to reflect on how we balance that more. If you're working a lot, how do you get more rest? How do you get more recharge time? How do you get more a centering sense of returning to the source so that you're not feeling totally barren of your wellspring of what gives you the energy to go forward. If you haven't extended enough in business and you've been hibernating or hiding too much at home with all the doom and gloom forecasts or an aversion to putting yourself out in the world for whatever reason, now's the time to reflect on, well, how do you reach out more so that you're able to actualize whatever the career point is or the need to be seen in the outer world and reconcile that with coming home and resting and recharging. So as we go through the next period into the, I'm just looking at the week ahead specifically in January, because of course I talked about January last month, but I always like to see if there's some big things happening to kind of bring our attention to it. As we go towards the end of the week, actually, there's a Venus trine Saturn in on Friday. So this is like a good period to weigh where you're putting your money, how you're doing your investments, getting information that will help you really see better what has value. So Thursday, Friday, very good days for Thursday the 12th, Friday the 13th, very good days for really doing business in a way that's productive and helpful for you. Venus goes in the sign of Pisces on the 14th. And this begins a Venusian cycle of high creativity. Get outside and do some dancing or listen to music, not outside like in the cold, although actually here in New York it's not as cold as it usually is. But anything that puts you in music or rhythm so that you're able to get into that, like move the body in a way that feels more fluid and less brittle. This time of year, especially in the Northeast, we have a tendency to feel brittle, feel as though we don't have the stretch potential we do when the months are warmer. So with Venus going into Pisces, it's a reminder that there is still that fluidity, we just have to work it differently. So hot baths, hot showers, dance, music, ways that meditate, ways that you allow yourself to be in the flow opens you up to more creative possibilities than tamping yourself down and kind of huddling inward the way people tend to do in these winter months. When we get into next week, Martin Luther King Day, very strong day for harmonious networking and relating. But after that, once we get into past the early part of the day, it's as though things close down a bit emotionally. The moon goes into the sign of Scorpio. People sort of pull tighter to it. So that's why it's good to stretch out now in these next couple of days while you can, because next week, by the time you get to the middle of the week, people are kind of holding things closer to the vest, and they don't start to free up and feel more open to ideas and suggestions until we're in Thursday, Friday again. So we have a couple of weekends where, like, before the weekend, people get more open up or more aware of possibilities. Next weekend on the 21st, however, the moon is in the sign of Capricorn. And for a lot of people, when the moon is in Aries, Cancer, Capricorn, or Libra right now, but especially Capricorn and Cancer, they can feel very, very restricted and as though there's a lot of things on them that are holding them back. So for somebody who has a lot of planets in any cardinal signs, when the moon is in those signs, it can be a very challenging time. I just did a full moon ceremony for the sign of Cancer a couple of days ago, and it was very interesting because half the room felt like they were very frustrated and they were feeling like there was a lot of things against them, and the other half felt as though there were possibilities and things were just starting to open up. So that's where you can see how the points are actually affecting your personal horoscope has so much to do with how it all pans out. If especially when the moon is full or the moon is new, but even when the moon is in any sign and it's moving through your chart, traveling through your chart, if you know what house it's in, then you can have a perspective on how this may be feeling for you personally. So the full moons in general tend to be intense because they're opposition energy, so there's a strong dynamic with them. When the moon is just traveling by itself into house to house, it may or may not be particularly active unless it's hitting a point in your personal horoscope or hitting another point in the sky that makes it particularly volatile, frustrating, challenging, or invigorating. It's not all bad, but And that's what I thought was so interesting about the group the other night, because some people were feeling as though they were really being held back, and other people were feeling as though they'd been waiting for this opportunity, and they were seeing a movement start to happen. So it's good to check in how you're feeling. The moon is in a different sign, just to get an idea of what it's like for you personally, and that really helps your understanding of what's coming up ahead or how you can maximize your potential at different points.
I was curious how that went for you over there, but for myself, my reaction has been very outgoing, moving and free, very, very good contact with the outer world. And since the 9th through today.
That's great. So you've been seeing
It
as in this opening time.
Opening, right.
And that's great because you, again, you're somebody who is a Capricorn. It's the full moon. So it's like this, the sun's light in Capricorn is putting a lot of energy into the area of life that has to do with the opposition to, in your case, a new moon in Capricorn. So it's putting a lot of lubrication and juice on that seed energy that you start as a new moon in Capricorn. So
But that was the moon in Cancer. The moon in Capricorn is going to be you said on the 21st.
Yeah, no, the new moon coming up actually is in the sign of Aquarius. The moon in Capricorn occurred on, when the heck was it? That's my other calendar. The new moon in Capricorn occurred in December, and I'm rattling around on my desk trying to find what, I'm pretty sure it was, wasn't it Christmas Day? I seem to remember that.
Might have been, yeah.
Yeah, I'll get there. I'll open it up, but I seem to remember that's what it might have been. Yeah, here we go. It was that Christmas Day, a lot was going on. It was, the new moon was Christmas Eve, actually. So it was around that time. And then Christmas Day, Jupiter went direct. So that would have been a very strong lunar return for you, absolutely. And it's not just the lunar return, which we have every month. The moon returns to the exact degree that the moon was at when we were born. But for you, it was also the new moon return. You're with the exact time and point where you were born, being born at a new moon. So that started things going. So then when you get to the full moon, which is about the integration evaluation point, because the full moons come a couple of weeks after, and usually the opposite sign, not always, but in this case it wasn't in the full moon in Cancer. So that's, you're able to really integrate and utilize ideally whatever it was you start brewing at that point in time. And as you say, you're somebody who's been working on a lot of things for quite some time. So now that we're in this kind of, we're in this period where everything is being intensified for people who've been tuned up, you know, and eager or waiting for things to be moving more. They're finding it invigorating, whereas for people, this is kind of coming at them and they really haven't done the seed work yet, either because, you know, their head was in the sand about it, or in a lot of cases, it's just unfolding as it will in their absolute right time. I mean, everybody has a different unfolding. So it's nice that that's been your experience. I'm glad to hear that. So as we go to the new moon that does occur in January on the 23rd, that one is in Aquarius. And it's at 2 degrees and change Aquarius. And so it is... Oh, right. It's also the day that Mars goes station retrograde. So it seems like it's going to be a day of high combustion today.
And so Mars went retrograde on the 23rd.
Mars goes retrograde on January 23rd. And also on January 23rd, the Chinese year of the dragon begins.
Right.
So this is a lot of, and it's a fire dragon, so this is a lot of symbolism about an engine that's kind of going internal and really like building its strength. So it's not a picture of somebody bolting out the door. It's more a picture of kind of this inner combustion. So this is a highly effective new moon to reflect on what you want to do in a capacity of networking, expanding community, anything you might want to do that has to do with service or higher ideals. Those are all the Aquarius themes. And then based on somebody's personal dynamics, it may emphasize whatever area of life is where you have Aquarius. So for some people, they might have Aquarius falling in the second house, so it would be a time it's really effective for them to experiment or think in new ways of doing investments or earning their money. A lot of times people kind of get into a lockstep with the only way they think they bring certain things in. But Aquarian energy can bring out different ways of seeing based on exposure to new ideas, new people, new ways of thinking, inventions, innovations. So wherever Aquarius falls, that's the area of life that is getting triggered with a thought of, okay, what can I start fresh, make new here? What needs some innovation and another way of seeing it? So anyway, it's a very exciting but also heavily charged new moon, this particular new moon in Aquarius. So it is what we call well aspected, in spite of the fact that Mars is going retrograde, because the Mars going retrograde in this case, looking at everything else, seems to say to me that it's more of a it's less of a loose cannon energy and more of a calculated assertion energy. So when do you put yourself out there or put the message out there? So it will be interesting to see how it actually unfolds, but it seems to be a very thoughtful new moon at this point in time. So that's how one could, and you know, with your business, even if seasonally your business is quieter at this point of year, it's a good time to reflect on what you would put in action, especially with anything that has to do with people you know or outreach or marketing that has to do with getting more business or promotions through people you know. Right, and then as we go further in the week in January, the 27th, the 28th, and the 29th are all a very good day to initiate and begin something. So January is it's a busy month. It looks there's a lot happening in the sky that promotes expansion and growth, but not in a like running out the door kind of way or without any checks and balances. When we get to February, just to check. I'm just looking at the notes Valerie sent me. So I have been touching on the days to begin things. That was one of the things she was asking. And the dates I've also been doing about good days to begin things are also anything that does has to do with contracts. Now, that being said, there's a couple of things to keep in mind. One is that Jupiter is now direct, which happened Christmas Day, which is absolutely wonderful for business. The other thing is that with Mars going retrograde on the new moon on the 23rd, there's more of a pulling back or curtail. So it's not that one can't start business or sign contracts with Mars in retrograde. It would just be actually a very few businesses that I would caution against. Things like exercise or somebody who made something with combustion or a vehicle, they would not want to launch off when Mars was in retrograde. But for a lot of businesses, Mars retrograde just means a more thoughtful or cautious way of approaching certain things, and it's not necessarily a deadly thing to have. And you, however, want Mars well aspected, because Mars is what gets your business going or gets you engaged or gets you active. I mean, you can't have a business where you sit around waiting for it to get to you. I know that there's plenty of people out there who think that's how business happens, but it usually does not. Be right back. So how are you hearing me? Am I sounding clear enough?
Clear enough, slightly broken, but we, you know, we'll just take it through.
Okay. So then when we get to into February, looking at the dates and what's good and not good. In February, I wouldn't start anything really on the 1st. The 2nd and the 3rd are decent days to begin something. The moon is in the sign of Gemini, and especially 2nd, which is Candlemas, involves St. Bridget's Day, Groundhog's Day, got all kinds of names. But basically what it is, the common chord about that energy is that we need towards the promise of spring and the swelling of life. So as we lean towards being open to new ideas and expectations of birth and new beginnings, there's a lot of crackling energy about starting something new and beginning something new, but it's very, very important that you don't make idle promises because everything that's said or talked about, especially the 2nd and 3rd of February, has a very good chance of actually coming true. So it's okay if you're playing around with ideas, but you don't want to begin anything or say you're going to do anything or sign any contracts that you're really not totally committed to. When we get to... Oh, right. I don't know. It's so interesting. These moons, these cardinal moons are often happening over the weekend, which, again, it's like a quarter cycle, so it kind of makes sense. But it on one hand, it's good because if somebody's having an intense time with it, they may not be at work unless they work over the weekend. On the other hand, it can be even more emotional because if you're not working, you may be with family members or people who really know how to trigger all that emotional content. So the weekend of the 4th, 5th looks to me particularly rocky emotionally. It's triggering off triggering off all those things in the sky that are about change and reckoning and coming to terms with. So I would just really suggest that you spend that weekend with people whose company you really enjoy, and don't put yourself in situations with people who can push buttons or say well-meaning things that just create confusion. The week of the 6th is right before the full moon. The full moon occurs on the 7th. It's a Leo full moon in February. And also, on this full moon, Saturn goes station retrograde. So we're seeing this kind of theme where when there's a lunar event, there also is what we call a station, where a planet goes backwards or, in cases, goes forward. In this case, it's Saturn going retrograde. And Saturn goes retrograde, it's about really going inside and looking at where you want to be responsible, what you're really committed to, and where your fears are. So any time a planet goes retrograde, it allows us to be more reflective on that area of life. On the other hand, because it's retrograde, Saturn retrograde will be in that case for a relatively longer period of time. It's also that stepping up to certain responsibilities are going to be something that we will hesitate on unless we feel totally equipped to do it. It's not a blind way of seeing how we take responsibility or make commitments, because you really instantly look in and say, is this something I'm really prepared to do? So with the Leo full moon, the Sabian symbols are the moon at this degree is a houseboat party, and the sun is a forest fire quench. Now, I found it very interesting because both images evoke water, even though water is not directly involved in either one. One is the houseboat party, which obviously is floating on water, and the other one is a forest fire quench. So what it's talking about is that since water symbolizes feelings in astrological language, both situations are mitigated or enforced by the emotional energy around them. So it's very important the full moon gets its light from the Aquarius sun. So the Aquarius way, which, of course, Aquarius, thinking about a houseboat party, a lot of people enjoying one another's company, that's a very Aquarian thing to do. So the Aquarius sun, which is all about humanity, the greater group of people, shining light on the Leo self-expression, it's very important to know what emotionally feeds you when you're in both these realms of life. So your Leo self-expression and creativity in balance with taking it out to the bigger community, but also being very sure of where all this stands with you emotionally. Are your needs being met when you're in either realm of your life, the part of your life that has to do with creative expression, and the part of life that has to do with forging the community? Do you feel that your needs are being met? Because the water piece is running through that whole story on that day. And with Saturn going retrograde, it really talks about if your feelings aren't being met, or if you're feeling in any way shortchanged, or you're missing appropriate self-expression, then your primary responsibility, of course, is to yourself. And that's part of Saturn going retrograde. We are responsible to ourselves as much as we're responsible to a employer or a spouse or a parent or a child or a friend. Our first responsibility is that we are carrying out whatever our soul's purpose is, what we're here to do. And this is not a narcissistic or selfish statement. It's that if one is not here to do his or her soul's work, one is shortchanging not only himself or herself, but also the entire universe that was supposed to receive whatever it was the soul came in.
Well, that's the positive part of the Saturn Mars retrograde is not so much you know, can't be partying on the boat all the time, but you have to think about
that's
the soul's purpose and at least put out some of those tired embers so that we could get on with the transcendental side of the equation.
Right. Good point. And yeah, the partying on the boat does sound fun. But then the image comes up in February. Right. But a houseboat in February in New York doesn't really sound as.
Not so appealing.
No, it doesn't. But it's an interesting image.
It is, definitely.
Oh yeah. Always these little vignettes are fascinating. So then as I look farther into the month, this is something to look at too when we get to the 9th. There's a Venus-Uranus picture in the sky. And these pictures, when they come up, so to just finish my thoughts, the full moon is it's a good day, too, for initiating and launching something. When I look at very good days, I'm looking at the 9th. 9th is a very good day for getting something that has a lot of details or things that you really, it depends, when somebody asks me what a good day is, it's also what is it you're planning to do that's important. So the 9th is good for a work routine, reevaluating an exercise routine, again with Mars retrograde and then Saturn retrograde. If you're doing some sort of exercise or routine for your body or your health, it's an excellent time to go in and see what might need to be adjusted, what's working, what isn't working. By the same token, some people, especially people with very strong Aries, unless they natally have Mars retrograde, may feel rather low energy during the Mars retrograde period. So it's good to keep in mind that that's a period of time that is finite. So if you find yourself not having the kind of energy you're used to and you are a rather Martian person, either somebody with a lot of Aries or a lot of Scorpio, then just know that with the retrograde, you're not necessarily feeling at your most robust, and it doesn't direct until April 14th.
What about Saturn? Do you know when that goes direct?
Saturn is a much longer period of time when it's retrograde, and I think it's, let me check. That goes direct on the 25th of June.
Okay, thanks.
So that's just a longer haul. Mars retrograde can be, as I said, very frustrating for people who are what I would call Martian-oriented people. And they just need to, like actually for myself, who has a lot of Scorpio, I really am not fond of Mars retrograde. It depends what sign it's in. In this case, it's in the sign of Virgo. So this may not be like the most horrible Mars retrograde for me personally, but it depends. You take the sun Mars is in and you align it with the other things that are in your horoscope and you see what area of life also that it's going retrograde in. So if you know where Virgo falls in your horoscope, then you would be able to look and say, oh, okay, so in this particular arena, I may find myself with some frustrations and delays. Actually, as I'm saying that, I'm pulling up your chart if you want me to while I'm talking. With you, Mars, Virgo straddles your 10th and 11th house, so it's about your business and networking capabilities. So you may feel like it's pulled back a little. Again, considering your business this time of year maybe isn't your biggest outreach period anyway, so it's a good time to kind of hunker down and flesh out other plans that are more towards outreach as you get into the spring. When I look at the rest of the month, oh, I was starting to talk about Venus, Uranus picture on 9. That's a very, some people love Venus Uranus and some people it's just crazy making, but it's an exciting energy around new people and activities. So you could get an invitation to go to a party on a house or something that's outside your usual realm of experience. And if it's something that seems like an impulse that's not going to block your world too much, it's also a great way to get some new stimulus, new activities, ideas that can be very beneficial. Hold on just a second, my cat's driving me crazy right now. Okay, that was an example of Venus Uranus. That particular cat is very Uranian. She's always kind of doing things I don't expect. So when I look later in the month to see what else is going on, that weekend, even though the moon's in the sign of Libra, which for some reason I think when the moon's in Libra, even though it's a cardinal sign, it may not be quite as crazy-making as when it's in Cancer or Capricorn for some people. But the other thing I suspect is that when the moon is in Libra, Uranus is still at early degrees, so it's like it will happen fast, whatever it is, or initially when it's in the sign, and then you still have almost 2 days before at the tail Saturn's going to be sitting on the moon. So when it's in Libra, it seems as though it can be a very productive period for networking, social events, being with people in relation-oriented contexts. But the thing that's absolutely essential is that the relationships, as I keep saying, have to be with integrity. So these can be very good relationships to build on in a contractual sense, either partnership, business partnership, or in some cases, romantic. Looking ahead to talking about romantic, Valentine's Day actually is kind of a rocky day. So for people who feel as though that would be a challenging day for them, that would be a time to think about ways to basically do nice things for yourself, because people may have a tendency to get on one another's nerves, even if they're in good relationships. It's just a lot of friction symbolized in the sky at that point, and kind of missed connections. Once you get into the later part of the day, around 8 o'clock at night, the moon moves into the sign of Sagittarius, so there may be better, like, spontaneous things occurring. But the earlier part of the day just looks like this kind of missed connection. So the best way to plan it is, sorry?
The moon is in Scorpio.
The moon is in Scorpio, yeah. moon is in Scorpio.
And it's day, right?
Yeah, well, it's intense. So the moon is in Scorpio, and then it's right horse from about noon to almost 8 o'clock at night. So it's kind of a missed signals sort of day.
Right.
And when it goes into Sagittarius at around 8 o'clock, it lightens up. I mean, things are more fun. But anybody who's a little pissed off at their boyfriend or girlfriend, husband or wife, the good thing is that maybe some things can come out that are positive, but I would say the better tactic, since the moon is not well affected, is to just avoid confrontation and come together when the moon's in Sagittarius and, you know, people are more in the mood to have fun and be in a more forgiving, magnanimous nature. And then we enter a couple of days, the 15th, and into the morning of the 16th, very good days to begin or initiate something. And then we get to the 17th weekend into the 18th. That is another moon in Capricorn. For certain people who are not as even keeled, others, it can be a kind of frustrating time and feeling like, how do they meet up to their responsibility? Basically, what's happening is when the moon is in Capricorn, especially with Saturn now retrograde, if you're feeling like you're not owning up to your responsibilities, especially your responsibility and commitment to self, every time the moon triggers those challenging aspects in the sky, it can be an emotional reckoning in some way or another, where you actually have a confrontation with someone, with yourself, or feel like you can't articulate or define what you want to make happen. So it can be frustrating. But this is before the new moon in Aquarius, which occurs on the 21st. So the 20th is an excellent day for looking at what you want to create in this new moon cycle. This is actually a really, really, I think, using new moon for making things happen in a way that is, it's a Pisces new moon. So, right, Pisces new moon. We already talked about the Aquarius new moon. The Pisces new moon is, that's why you see the word see. It's creative, it suggests ideas, and so the cycle is twofold, as it is every new moon, but this one I think is particularly good to pay attention to. The new moon is one cycle about 4 weeks where you can write out ideas you want to begin and initiate, and in Pisces it's highly creative. Sorry, I need some water. So it's highly creative. It's launching something that has a spiritual foundation, or could have a spiritual foundation. And it can be something that is not necessarily totally conceptualized. So more of a dream or vision, perhaps, than an actual concrete goal. On one hand, it could be, I want to make $200,000 this year. Okay, that's a concrete goal. On the other hand, it can be a vision with opening up with disabilities or ways of creating that kind of income? How would that happen? And not getting locked into a way of seeing it that closes out other possibilities. The Pisces moon, the Sabian symbol for this, is a petrified forest. And I found that particularly seen since the full moon that preceded it was a forest fire quench. It seemed to be a coincidence that the word forest came up twice in 1 month in Sabian symbols. So the petrified piece, on one hand, seems as though something's frozen, as though it's stuck or it can't move. On the other hand, it also represents something that's very old, something that has a primal source, or when I think about it, it's almost like the cosmic egg. It's how it all begins. And Pisces is the 12th sign, and it's a sign that evokes the ending, but also the wound. So the petrified forest seems to be the promise of what the sea energy came in with that cannot be changed. Like it's in the, it's part of the DNA, or the way that it is inherently structured. You can't just chop it down with an axe. It is frozen in its space. And yet, because a new moon, it's about new beginnings, so it's taking that rock-solid perception or root or crystalline structure, and it's building on top of it. So it provides a very substantial foundation for where this Pisces new moon energy is going. So either sense of the numinous always with Pisces, or that something is inchoate or not really formed with this crystalline structure that's at the core of it. It really does seem to be hardwired to create something very substantial. And on the other hand, this particular new moon is not as supported as the one that preceded it in January, where when I look at the new moon in Aquarius, it has a lot of support by how the other aspect to help the energy unfold. This one seems to be challenged, and I think the challenge, one of the places it comes in, and looking at an opposition Mars, is that it comes in again with looking at that internal engine. How is it going to run? How is it going to be created? So that's why I also look at the long vision of this Pisces moon. So it's not just 4 weeks, what are you going to accomplish and do in the area of creativity and a greater sexuality in your life, but what are you going to do over the course of the year as it unfolds and you get more sense of power and direction behind it? So it's a much longer view than perhaps we look at when usually looking at new moons and thinking in terms of several weeks. Of course, every new moon also is the beginning of the new lunar year for that sign. This particular particular one to have a greater emphasis on looking at the long-range view instead of just using it for a several-week project. The other thing I want to say about story is that on the 23rd, we have another one of these very long void of course moons in Pisces, basically all day. And I think these days are absolutely fabulous for creative expression, but they're a disaster if you plan a lot of appointments or try to get some tense things done. So that is not a day for scheduling thing or trying to get something off the ground. And actually, once towards the end of February, it's not until the 27th and the morning of the 28th and leap year, the 29th day itself, that I think are days to begin, embark, sign a contract, initiate. Keeping in mind, of course, that Saturn and Mars are retrograde. And Saturn and Mars retrograde, especially keeping in mind old astrology, traditionality, they're seen as malefics, the things that cause trouble. And, I would say that's exactly true. But what they do is they demand, they're action-oriented planets in that most obviously is how we assert ourselves, express our libido, get things done. And Saturn is where we take responsibility, how we forge a commitment. So people who don't have strong Saturns or a developed spine in this really, they don't really pull anything together. So if they're considered in ancient times malefics, I think that the other thing is that they both kind of demand a kick in the pants to somebody from the natives. And so seeing how it's done, I mean, in some cases, we'll move very gracefully with the energies. In other cases, it's a struggle for them. And in cases, they have absolutely no dialogue with them. So those are the people who can't seem to hold a job from place to place because they don't have a strong connection with these very, very assertive, aggressive energies. And we can meet that when we're going through this if we don't have that natally. But especially when the pulse retrograde, that's a real reckoning. How am I defining myself in the world in a capacity that has to do with how I see myself as someone who's achieved in a career, financial, stable capacity. Mars retrograde is, and Saturn retrograde, those are reckoning periods for all of that. So do you have any direct questions?
No, Pam, I'm not going to ask any questions right now. The recording isn't too clear, so.
Right. So then, what I'll do is I'm just going to save this. I'll send it out, and if you have any questions, just shoot mail, and I'll respond that way.
Okay. Great.
Okay. Have a nice.
To send me
the address. I will.
The apartment.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you so much. All right, bye now.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye. Hello.